And so at every stage of life, there is something that we can and that we should do. You think of being a child and the first work that you really start to have on a consistent and regular basis might be some of the chores that your parents give you. You know, Timmy, pick this up over here. Sally, will you help me out with the dishes over here? And begin to slowly, gradually give them responsibility to do. That's their work at their stage. And as they begin to age a few more years, then they go off to school and they begin to study. And each grade gets progressively harder with more and more homework to be done. And that becomes then that stage of their life, their area of responsibility, of work. And it is work, especially as you get older. I remember going into college years, I probably worked the hardest I ever did in my life. I mean, that's a lot of work. And it just, it almost takes all of your time if you're trying to do well and do good at your stage of life and the work you've got. As you become a young adult, you start to have a, quote, job, right? You've got to earn a little bit extra money, maybe pay for that automobile insurance. You know, your parents want you to have some skin in the game, to understand what it's like to pay some bills. And so they begin to gradually shift more of that to you so that you feel, okay, I've got to put in a few hours here and there so that I can be able to make some of those bills, those expenses. And then eventually, as you either graduate from high school or graduate from college, then you enter in what we might call the career working force, and you begin to try and grow and develop wherever that may be, so to better increase your income and earning abilities, and you learn, we might say, what real life is like, right? Where you've got to pay the bills, right? They're not going after your mom and dad anymore. They're coming for you. And you've got to be able to make those ends meet. And so as we've been noticing recently, inflation takes place. Things become more expensive. You have to be able to try and earn more income to make those rising expenses. But at every stage of life and every season, we might say, as the Bible does, there's purpose under heaven and there is work that we can and should do. Now, Genesis chapter 2 tells us that God created the perfect world with work to do. Let's turn there real quick. Genesis chapter 2. And mind you, this was before sin was in the world. In Genesis chapter 2, there verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So God places the man intentionally within a garden. And if any of you have a garden, you know it takes tending after. And that is God's plan. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So there is industrious work taking place before even sin comes into the world. I think ultimately because God knows how he has made man. He knows what he's placed within him. And to feel a sense of purpose, a sense of getting up in the morning and doing something that needs to be accomplished, gives that man or woman some self-satisfaction, that it is for our good. Now, we do learn in Genesis chapter 3 that after sin comes into the world, that that work increases. It gets harder. So we might say, while it will still have that impact upon one's life to feel better about themselves, it will come at a cost of toil and sweat. There in Genesis 3, there verse 17, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. And so there we see work and its toil increase. Like we mentioned earlier, it is hard. That's why it's called work. And it's going to feel like a lot of times like you don't want to do it. And that's when the work actually really begins. So it's important for us to understand that in this realm called work, God wants us to pursue purity, to pursue purity. This is a part of God's ideal life for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there verse 11 and verse 12, Paul writes the brethren there at Thessalonica that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. So, part of God's ideal life is going to include work, and that we seek to have this quiet life, doing the duties that are before us, and that this also will let others see that we're not lazy or slothful and always trying to get something from somebody else. But rather, if anything, we want to be set up in a position where all we have is an ability to give. And I mean not just monetarily speaking to others. So that when someone sees me, it's so that I might impart to them the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. That they're not saying, uh-oh, here comes this person again. I know they're going to need something from me. Right? Instead, it's what kind of wisdom, what kind of learning, what kind of life experience might I gain from being around this person? You see, the Lord had wisdom in having us each work so that we might lack nothing, so that we might walk properly towards those who are outside. All right, I've said a lot here at the outset. Any comments or questions anyone wants to add to our discussion? Right, right. And I didn't mention this, but even when we get to what we call the retired phase of life, you may have retired from secular work, but there is still work that we all can do, right? And must be involved in. It may be more spiritual work. You may have more opportunity or time to do that. But then there's also physical work around one's house, or they might start to devote their energies to learning some new craft or skill or hobby, we might say, that could be a benefit, industrious again as well. So there is work we can all do, even though, you know, mom is retired at this stage. You know, she recognizes that there is work that can be done. Jesus had fulfilled God's work. All of us ought to be working. And Ephesians 6, verse 5 and 8 is where we want to turn next, where we see some great comments by the Apostle Paul about working. If someone would be kind enough to read verses 5 through 8, please.
Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free.
Okay, and then let's turn to the sister passage in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. And if someone would read those verses, please.
Fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no harm in him.
All right, thank you. All right, so let's start off with that word bondservants first. What did that word bondservant mean in the days of Paul?
Slave.
Okay, that's right. They were bound to their masters, right? Did slaves have an option to say, I don't know if I want to work today?
No.
That's right. But slaves might have had the option of how they're going to approach their work, right? The attitude by which they're going to approach their work is going to be really heartily or slothfully, you know, just, you know, getting through those duties. We live in an age where we do have options to even choose if we want to go into work, right? We're not slaves. There's no gun being held to our head. We're not going to get whipped on our backs, per se. But it doesn't mean that there is no obligation. And I think what will help us to remember that is who we're truly working for. So what do these verses say about who our true master is? That's right. It's God. It's our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Godhead. And right there, that ought to change everything, right? The very dynamic of how we approach then our work. Because there will be times we won't feel like wanting to go in, right? And on those days, we're going to be especially tempted when we go in to not do our best. To not work hard. But to keep this passage in our mind, to remind us that my true master is not the boss I'm about to meet at 8:30, but it's Jesus Christ. Then that ought to change things. That I go to work for him every day. And by the way, the scriptures describe our relationship with Jesus Christ as bondservant to master. Right? So as Christians, there shouldn't be the option. Right? I am engaged in this. I am linked to this. I am one with the Lord. And so he's my master. And I'm going to do what he'd have me to do. But then the hard part is having the right attitude to do it. And we'll talk a little more about that in a few minutes. For a moment, though, let's think about it. Let's list some qualities of a good worker. What's some qualities? If you think of a good worker, that person's a good worker. What are some things that come to your mind? Yes, Thomas.
Well, first, you got to be there to work. And if it didn't work, it's one of the main things. It's like if you're going to be a good Christian, you don't have to be here to learn anything.
Right. Okay, so you got to show up, right? Step one. Yes, Nancy. That's right. Considerate of others, other workers, what their feelings and thoughts are. And by the way, if you don't do step one, showing up, all of a sudden you've made the workers a lot harder to pick up where you're lacking. Yes, Liz.
I'm thinking of not only showing up, but showing up ready to work. When I was in the Air Force, there were a couple of people in this one office I was in who would get there on time, but then they were always doing something somewhere else before
the
when the office opened,
and
so their hours had to be changed to a little bit earlier.
Because they weren't ready to work.
Right.
Yes, good.
That affects the customer. Mm. You get customers coming in.
Right, there's always the trickle down.
Yeah.
That's right. It does affect customers, which affects then the business. Good. Anybody else? Yes, Justin.
I think taking the initiative and being preemptive. See something that needs to be done, you don't just stand around waiting for another person to do it. You yourself are going to try to meet that need.
Okay. Take an initiative.
Yeah.
Right? Don't wait around. If you see something to be done,
right,
do it, right?
Or if a customer's like shopping around and might need some help, you know, quickly ask, as opposed to just waiting for the customer to come to you.
Good point. Good point. Right? We've all been in that little awkward situation where the person just stands behind the counter staring at you. All right. Good. Kevin.
I'm just thinking, having your mind mentally ready, you can be overwhelmed, you know, saying things that are important, you know, in regards to that, you know, what they're about, but being overwhelmed with this world and bringing the cares, you're not going to be ready to deal with what work has to go with.
Okay, so mind focused on the job to be accomplished. Good, good. Instead of divided mind, good. Liz, did you have your hand up?
I guess I keep thinking back to my Air Force career, because there was somebody that came to my office one day, and I told him, I said, well, the person that is going to take care of what you're needing is across the hall. He said, well, he went over there, but she said she didn't know what to do. And so it's taking that initiative of pulling out the regulation and figuring out what you need to do, whether it, excuse me, it's not just the Air Force, but it's other jobs too. Sometimes you just need to just kind of research what you need to do instead of depending on somebody else to pick up the slack.
Okay, so that almost sounds like being willing to grow in your position. Good, good. Honest. Any else?
Honest, you're not going to be taking home little parts that belong to the factory, don't show up in your car and your home.
Right, right. And that temptation becomes greater when someone thinks they're being taken advantage of as a worker. Well, I'm not making what I should, and so this is just making it for that extra income I ought to be getting. And so dishonesty enters into their hearts, and they end up hurting the business that they actually should be helping, biting the hand that's feeding them. We're getting to some qualities that might be bad qualities, too. So we can just throw that on the chart. Yes, Tim.
I always appreciate when people show up sober and they can go. Because they're hung up with the work. They don't do the part. Somebody's got to pick up for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Hung over, they're going to do half the job. And it can be dangerous, potentially dangerous. As well to others, yes. Thomas?
Most of the time, there's a certain way you're supposed to do the job. And that thing goes to being a good worker or a little bad worker. And if you're told to do the job a certain way, there might be some that want to do it a better way. And there goes that, you know, work for a higher authority. If someone's over you, you do it the way they say, you'll be doing it the right way.
Right. So not willing to follow instructions is going to be some bad qualities of a worker, right? And they're the ones, the management, the others, are the ones that have the experience, you know, the trial and error. Maybe they've seen the mistakes and the people getting injured, and so they're trying to save you from that.
I know sometimes in our plant, like if it's like on a Wednesday or something, you know, they're not really worried about something going out, you know, with the customer, you know, but then all of a sudden, on Friday or something, it's like an hour, well, we're going to change this, we're going to do it this way so we can get it out of here. And then they'll change just ways from what you do, and really, they're setting a bad example, but you got to do it that way because that's the way they tell you.
Yeah, yeah. Good comments. Anybody else? See, Nancy and then Liz again.
Newspaper article that came out 40 years ago. And last Wednesday, talk to the authority engineer. The truck is down the past good day for us today. It's good. This young man is working on the money and he has moved up the ladder there. And it's because of his work ethic. I hear from different one. But find the work for he is. And this goes all the way back to school.
Mm-hmm.
That first day he was a junior. He was very instrumental in making local county and state basketball champs. And it just grows when a person is doing right. If I were going to start a business and I wanted to be successful, I would always follow the principles in the Bible.
All right. Good. Good. Good comment.
Yes. I was just thinking, too, that, you know, just your appearance makes a big difference. You know, like if you're wearing, particularly if you're wearing a uniform or something, or, you know, you're working in fast food or restaurant, mm-hmm. you want to be clean and because you certainly wouldn't want somebody that had just come in from the field taking your order, so to speak. But, you know, those of us that have military experience, you know, there are certain ways that we had to wear the uniform.
Yeah.
And, you know, policemen, firemen, all those prepared, you know, and because you were, you know, you're speaking for them. It's kind of like we've talked about our manner of physical dress that we have. You know, we're representing Christ in how we dress.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that way it's, you know, you're being a good representation of the employee that you work for.
Good, good. Justin and Betty?
On that point about, like, shortcuts that was made earlier, they can have catastrophic results. I guess when that comment was being made, I thought about the Challenger space shuttle. And people from our generation who remember growing up and seeing that on TV, and, you know, teachers played it in classrooms, and so it led to some trauma for kids as they saw that. And as they did the investigation, what they found out about it was that way out in a different state, far out west, you had some people that were signing off on things that they had not thoroughly inspected. And so it's just a tiny little, what's called an O-ring, that had constricted in the cold weather. And so it was not ready to go up into space. And yet, you know, you have people trying to make deadlines and stuff like that, and it can cost people their lives.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Betty?
I was thinking that this qualities, both good and bad, the foundation has been laid by the parents in the home. And if the child has been taught responsibility and respect, then they're going to carry that with them to their job.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have been permitted to grow up as if they are running the show, then they're not going to respect authority.
Right. That was one thing that I was thinking as a bad quality was this entitled mentality. And you see that more and more as the years have gone by. That I deserve this, as opposed to feeling I feel blessed to have the job or the income that I have. I deserve this. And it's just become such a pandemic, we might say, of mentality that, in essence, the country's spinning itself into oblivion, so that everybody can have what they feel that they deserve. And it's just a sad mentality that really is different than Christ, you know, the humility and the blessing to be able to have what one does have. I think it was correct. Correct, correct. So that's kind of getting into my next area that we wanted to talk about here, and is how does attitude play a role in our work or in our school, and how does this relate to our pursuit of purity? Yes, Kevin.
I just imagine that in regards to, you know, sometimes people come in, they don't really know a whole lot about the job, and their confidence hasn't been established yet. And so, I mean, over a few years or so, we see that confidence start to grow, and you think about what it says, blah, 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 you know, even when things you stand, take you, lest you fall, they get to the point of thinking that, you know, they know it all, and they, you know, in that regards, and bam, it puts a crash, you know, I think you have enough. know, being humble, you know, always never forget where you come from, you know, where you started at.
Right. Good. Good. So the haughtiness can lead to one's downfall. Pride goes before destruction. Yes, Thomas.
I know the workers get a bunch of them when we up there get ready to clock in stuff. They'll say, is it 3:30 yet? And they just walk in the door of it and sort of, I don't know, I've gotten used to it, but you know, if you've got new guys there, they say, well, I've got myself in there. What is it? Discouragement.
Right. And that's kind of what I was going after, was that, you know, we've all been somewhere where we see someone and you can tell they just don't want to be there, right? Maybe we've even been that person ourselves, right? And the person doesn't even have to say, I don't want to be here. You can see it in their face, in their eyes, their body language. And does anyone of a sane mind say, that's the perfect example of a Christian, that's what I want to be like? No, if anything, they're turned off by that person, right? That's not an example of purity. An example would be like, man, this is hard stuff. Why are you smiling all the time? You know what? Why are you always in such a good mood? How can you keep that kind of attitude through this difficult struggle or this heat of the day or this hard work? You know what? Why? Then we see, okay, that's, I'd like to know more about you, about your faith, right? That's how we pursue purity, right? I wanted to be the best I can for the Lord because I'm a reflection of the Lord. Gretchen. Yes. Absolutely. That's right. And that's true everywhere, right? Even in the church. I mean, so these things all apply to our spiritual work as well. Attitudes are contagious. Good. Yes, Nancy.
I don't want to embarrass you.
Go ahead. No. Paint a target up here. Yep.
Some preachers give talks and make money. And then there's other preachers coming out of looking at studies and students. And he sees what we need and he works really hard to prepare a sermon that we all need. Right. So I
Well, thank you. I try my best. And I think that's what we're talking about, is trying our best at whatever it is that we find our hand to do. Thank you. Who else had their hand up? Liz?
I was just thinking back to this Colossians passage that we read. It says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And, you know, that just the idea of, as you were saying, you know, with a good attitude, even if it's not something we want to do.
All right.
You know, it's everything needs to be done. Like, if we think about the home, if somebody didn't wash the dishes, you know, nobody would have clean plates to clean up. To eat off of. So everybody has a part to do, and if we, you know, all do it heartily, then we can all get along cohesively.
Right. Right. Good. Good. So we've been talking about how, you know, our attitude and our work ethic, that can say something about what we believe in our faith, right? But is there a time when we have to tell our work, sorry, no, I can't go. I can't do that. And at what point would that be?
Well, I know of a couple in Georgia that sadly are no longer faithful. And one day he came in and said that, you know, they could volunteer to work on Sunday because they got time and a half or whatever that's called. And that's what he did. He said he made more money. And he didn't have to. It wasn't a requirement. Now, there were times where, in times of, you know, like the military experience again, when a war's on or something like that, or if you're having some type of exercise, you don't really have a choice in that particular instance. But But in a situation like that guy's, you did, because he didn't have to work on a Sunday. It was a choice. They looked for volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
And I knew of a couple who, when their children got an age to where they were going to start working, they told them that, you know, when they went in and talked to the supervisor that, or to interview for the job, that, you know, they had to tell them up front they were not going to work on a Sunday.
Okay. Good, good. What else, Justin?
I just say that as Christians, if we have a guideline about what we're going to do in our work ethic and in looking for a job, then that should also factor into whether we decide to stay with a particular job. So if we start to see things that are not proper or appropriate, and we're pressured into doing things that are just not morally right, lying, stealing in some way, being dishonest, then it's okay to have faith and walk away from that and say, I can't participate in that. I've got to find employment elsewhere.
Right, right. Because now, and there are some jobs to do that. Just will tell you just to lie about that. Don't be honest so that you can get the sale.
You may not know that going in.
Right.
And then you see it later on.
Right, right. And that's crossing a line that we cannot cross, right? There's a couple of verses there that talk about, you know, in Acts 5:29, it's better to obey God rather than men. You know, it always is. We must put God first. And even if that means that we've got to disobey our boss, right, or management, I cannot do that. I also think about, too, how going forward with the changing climate of our society's morals, that more and more things are going to be pressed upon Christians to advocate for certain things like the homosexual agenda when they know that they can't. I mean, I'm really concerned about school teachers in the years to come. What they have to say, what they have to accept, what they have to also even advocate for. And if not, then you're out. You're out. Right now, there's more, I'd say, choice in the matter, you know, if that's going to violate a teacher's religious beliefs. But I do wonder if, as the threshold's been pressed and pushed, if that eventually is going to be crossed. And it's no longer allowed as choice. It's either you love people or you're a hateful person. You have hate speech, you see. So there are going to be increasingly these times of testing to come where our faith is going to meet then the works guidelines head on. And it is okay, in fact, it is right for us to say, no, I cannot do that. I will be your best worker, I'll be your hardest worker, but I cannot do that. You see, it's taking a stand for what is right and good. Comments any more about that? All right, so then last for this morning, the study is, what does working with proper priorities look like? Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and let's read verses 38 through 42, as we're talking about our pursuit of purity. And of course, purity comes from God. He is the origin of all that is pure. And so we always want to seek to have God's work ethic and God's priority in mind. So here we read in Luke 10, there verse 38, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried about and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Now again, in the cultural and context setting, this was indeed Martha's work. And we might even say every woman's work, as they were to be the keeper of the house. And here you had individuals over, and they were to try and make it as a hospitable environment as possible as the Lord would conduct His teachings. Now, we might even say to the degree today that many women also still feel this great obligation to their home, and they should. That's part of the innate nature that God had planted within them. And I would say that I could be, destroyed, right, if I was to invite a bunch of folks over without giving the notice, advance notice to my own wife, right? Because then the house may not be prepared and ready for that. Well, that's how Martha feels about this situation. But Mary was listening to the word of Christ. And Jesus said, "Martha, you're troubled about many things that ultimately are of not eternal consequence. So one thing in the end is needed. And Mary has chosen that. And that is to hear the words of Christ." Jesus later on says in Matthew 6:33, "To seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Now on page 50 of the Pursuit of Purity, page 50, at the very end of this book, I thought Andrew Roberts did such a good job in putting this into application, not only for us as adults, but also for younger people as well, those that are still under the roof of their parents, to make applications at what season of life you're in, and to make sure you have the right priorities. So the last two paragraphs, he says, "You know that if you are doing something sinful, you ought to cease the evil practice and choose righteousness. But often we aren't choosing between good things and bad things. We're choosing between good things and better things. We can make a good choice to be industrious and work hard like Martha. But we should choose the better part, spiritual investment like Mary. Let's make practical application of this. Your first part-time job shouldn't keep you away from church services. You're not the breadwinner of your family. Your parents take care of that. It's good to get a job so you have some cash to run around on or save up for college, but don't let it keep you from services. You are a student, and your parents won't let you starve. You should be free to seek God first without interruption. If a manager won't work with you to allow you to assemble with the saints, then quit that job and find another. It's disturbing to meet 16-year-olds that only attend church Sunday mornings because they're bagging groceries the rest of their time. And they think that that's more important. It's not. Get in the habit of putting God first and using His word to dictate your priorities." Well said. I remember when I was in college, and I also had a job as well at a grocery store. And I remember telling the manager, the boss at the hiring process, "I will be a good, honest, and hard worker. I'll be here every time you want." I said, "Except if the work time lands on a service time for church." "Oh, that'd be great. We'll hire you." Wouldn't you know it, about a month or two later, there's my name on Sunday morning. And I told them, I said, "You remember when I was hired that I'd say I'd be here every time except those times." So I didn't show up that time, but as soon as service was over, I made a beeline for the job. They were a little confused, but they realized I kept to my word. I stuck to my guns. And I didn't find my name on Sunday mornings anymore. So that's something we need to instill in our youth, in our young age, because we're going to go out and we're creating habits of what we're going to do and what our priorities are later on in life. And parents, we need to really make sure we do our best to try and make that environment available for our children, because like the author said, they're not going to starve. But what they may do is starve spiritually if we have the wrong priorities set at such a young age of life. All right, final comments or thoughts about this? Yes, Liz.
Just back to that Colossians passage, you know, it talks about fearing God. And I was just reading in Deuteronomy 6:24 about how Moses talked to the people to fear God, and it was for their good always.
Mm-hmm.
If it was for them, it's certainly for ours. And if we put all these things into practice, then, you know, that would certainly be for our good. And as you said in one of your comments, possibly for others too who are outside.
Good. Thank you, Liz. Anybody else? All right. So we were able to finish that, and I wanted to do that in one lesson. So purity in homes, study that for Wednesday night, and I believe I'll probably do that in two lessons. Purity in the home. Thank you all for your good comments this morning. Class dismissed.